So what do you think of the corners in this draft? Have you been able to look at them very much?
Besides the ones from Ohio State, nope. yeah, they're probably, we got the number one corner in Lattimore. Conley's another good one. So, I mean, but this draft is, from what I understand, a really saturated draft when it comes to DB. So, be fun to watch those guys, you know, make their way.
What do you watch about those two guys in particular?
Well, Lattimore is a true press man-to-man corner. Very athletic. Conley's a long guy who's always in good position, makes plays on the ball. The more and more you watch him, the more impressive he gets. So, and obviously they've been the starters this past year. Really good season. Looking forward to watching them kind of transition to the league.
When you watched them, just as a fan, watching the games, did you, before they started being labeled as first rounders, et cetera, did you say, oh, I think that's the kind of talent that these guys have, taking your fandom out of the equation?
They're all pretty young. I think Malik Hooker is probably the better one, or the best out of all of them to me. He was the one guy within three games watching him. I'm like, okay, he's going to be a high commodity. Lattimore, I think everybody saw his athleticism, and as the season went on, the consistency that he played with obviously kind of vaulted him, but Conley too. And I think a lot of times you lose him while you're watching Lattimore and Hooker, but when you turn on the tape and you watch him consistently, he deserves all the hype he's getting.
Is one of the reasons why you had questions, you thought safety more than the two cornerbacks. It seems like cornerback has been a tough position for NFL evaluators to project for the NFL. Like a lot of top 10 picks haven't really even panned out.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so hard? Being the guy who transitioned as a cornerback to the NFL.
Yeah, the talent level is obviously there's a huge jump between college receivers and NFL receivers, and the consistency that you have to have as a corner in the league. In college you play four or five legitimate receivers in the whole season, where this year, you know, I feel like every team that we play has the number one, you know, big time name, and so that's hard to transition in their scheme. And what you're asking that guy to do compared to what he did in college, it's just a hard position to evaluate, let alone the psychological makeup that you need to be resilient and competitive. It's one thing. It's no real formula for it.
Malcolm, talent-wise, the difference you see between Lattimore and Conley?
I just think it's two different styles of play. I think Lattimore is in-your-face press corner who's really athletic, can run with anybody. Conley can press, but I think he's more of a technician. He probably plays zone a little bit better. He reminds me of kind of a Richard Sherman type of style player, where when the ball's down the field, he's always in good position. He turns into the receiver long. But it's just it depends on what you're trying to ask him to do.
Is he seeing better with the way Jim Schwartz runs the defense with a press corner?
Well, whoever we bring in is definitely going to, all our corners are asked to press all the time. We change it up every now and then to play off, but the majority of what we're doing is going to be press man.
Obviously, both starters.
Looking back to last year, a movement he got behind was Colin Kaepernick. Do you think that has anything to do with him at all in not having a job now?
I think it plays a part in it. I don't think it's the entire equation. But I think it would be foolish to say that it's not part of it. When we've seen even guys like Tim Tebow, who didn't do anything controversial, yet people still evaluated, you know, just the gravity that he has as a player. So I think that's definitely in the evaluation process. I think we'll see closer to training camp. If he's not on the team, then most likely it probably is because of his political views, and more so than his talent.
Who would you like to see the Eagles take at number 14?
I'd let it get a DB. I'd let it get Conley because I don't think Lattimore will be there. We need corners, and I need another Buckeye on the team. So selfishly, I'd like to take him.
As a follow-up to that, you saw both starters leave. Patrick Brown's the only one who brought in.
Yep.
Are you expecting that position to look a lot different in a week than it does now?
You hope so. You lose two starters. I know we got a lot of faith in Jalen Mills, and I'm excited to watch him really mature into a starting cornerback, because I think he's going to have a breakout season. I know Patrick Robinson. I'm familiar with him. He's a first-round draft pick in New Orleans when I was there. He's got a lot of talent. He's been banged up, so hopefully he can get healthy, and I think he can add something to the team. And we got a lot of young guys that are unproven but have shown a lot of potential. C.J. Smith last year really shocked all of us and kind of rose the rank as an undrafted rookie to make the team, to get active. And so I know he's looking forward to an opportunity to compete. Aaron Grimes, coming out of the Canadian League, had an awesome camp, got hurt, and we signed him back. So there's a lot of competition, but we do need, a solid number one corner just to add some more depth to that that room, and hopefully we can address that in the draft.
And what happens this week? You're going to have a young cornerback group. How much pressure does that put on you and Rodney? Bringing those guys along.
Yeah, well, it's less pressure now. This is the first year, you know, for me being here, that I've been with the same safety for 2 years now. So, I think having that helps because now you got stability at the safety position that has to make all the calls, get everybody lined up. So it makes it a lot easier to have some young guys on the outside. I think we're going to put a lot of pressure on Jalen Mills to really step up and be that guy for us. In his second year in his defense. But we're also going to put a lot of pressure on some of the other guys, too, that have been here because we got a young room. And for us to be successful, we got to have success out in the corner position.
Malcolm, going back to the Kaepernick thing, how much do you think the money he's asking or his agent's asking for really has something to do with his not being signed right now?
I think it's multiple reasons. I think that's one of it. He wants to be a starting quarterback and wants to get paid as a starting quarterback. And the pool for that for him right now is small. But I also know that there's been GMs and coaches who've verbally said that they wouldn't sign him, regardless. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think when you add all of those equations, the pool for his demand is very small at this moment.
Did they say they wouldn't sign him because of his ability or because of the other issues?
Oh, this is because of the other issues, because of his political stance.
That's the first time we're all talking to you since the trade rumors.
Yep.
Did those bother you?
No, they didn't. I mean, I've been in the game long enough to know that there's no such thing as an irreplaceable player, just depending on what that price tag is. I know the Saints have been active in trying to get me back in that building. And that's before those trade rumors. This is back in probably during the season. So the fact that conversations are being had surrounding me doesn't bother me because I understand the business and how we talked. And, he alluded that he wanted – that I'm a big part of what we're doing here. He wants me to be an Eagle. They need the leadership and what I bring to the field. I understand everything, so I'm good.
Who's he?
Who
told you that your big part is
Howie?
Oh, Howie. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You probably knew going into the offseason that they were going to invest in improving the offense, but they did very little on the defensive side of the ball. And yet, and you lost, but also four starters, and maybe more. Who knows what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like the defense now, as it stands, is I know the draft's still going, but the young guys are going to be able to compete and be better than it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, I know sitting at the end of the season, we felt like we probably needed to add a corner or something, just one or two pieces to the defense. And like you said, we end up losing four starters. So now it puts you in a little bit of a replacement mode. But I think the guys that we do have coming back really can solidify what we're doing. I like having Rodney next to me for a second year in a row. We're excited about Jalen Mills. I think the loss of Bo Allen is probably going to be bigger than most realize since we lost Benny Logan. It's losing Benny and Connor were big, even from like a leadership and culture standpoint, but I think we replaced them with some pretty good guys. So, the draft is definitely something that, as a leader on defense, I'll be looking at because we're going to have to hang our hats on some younger players.
Were you, surprised and possibly even like alarmed that both corners are not here anymore, starters?
No, I mean, that's been, kind of one of the hot topics over the last couple of seasons is the consistency at the corner play or at the corner position, and we're asking them to do a lot. So it's a tough place to be at in this defense. So, and I know we're searching for a true, number one corner to really hold up.
Can you describe what a Jim Schwartz cornerback is, the ideal one?
I don't know if I can describe that. I hadn't played with one yet.
Because the game's so high.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the demand is high. You know, it's somebody who's going to – you got to play press man the majority of the time. You got to win down the field. And that's the biggest thing. You got to be able to hold up against the best receivers in the league down the field on a consistent basis. And anybody who watches football knows that in this league, that's tough to do.
Malcolm, when you look at the history of the NFC East, how far do you think the Eagles are away from the playoffs?
I don't think we're far at all. I mean, if you look at the East from last year, we lost to the Cowboys in overtime. The second game, you know, they didn't play their starters, but so we're not far away from beating them two times in a row. We compete with the Giants every year. The Redskins seem to give us trouble, but we're very competitive in the East. And so now it's just about, you know, how do you stack up wins and continue to stay consistent toward the end of the year. And I think that just comes with experience. It comes with maturity. So I feel like we're a couple pieces away from winning the East and making the playoffs.
You guys have the 14th pick. I know that's where you went
yeah.
a few years ago. What are some memories you have of the time leading up to the draft and then being drafted?
I remember just not really trying to worry about anything. People were worried or asking me where I thought I was going to get drafted. I really didn't care. I knew I was going to make it to the NFL, and that's all that really mattered to me. I was kind of very, very trusting in the process that it would work out in my favor, and it did. You know, I got drafted to the Saints, won a Super Bowl my rookie year, and at the draft, I just remember being around my family and friends and getting that call from Sean Payton, and, you know, at that point in time, it's a life-changing experience, not only for you, but for your family, everybody who's kind of played a part to get you to this platform. It's an exciting time.
A few times last year, Malcolm, in the times you discussed the top receivers you guys faced each week, you always mentioned Alshon in that category with the other guys. What do you think of him as a receiver?
Yeah, I think he's a true number one, you know, receiver. Even in Chicago, he really didn't have much help around him, but still was productive. And so, you know, I'm excited to put him next to a Torrey Smith and Jordan Matthews. You know, he's either going to – it's going to be real opportunistic for him, or he's going to open up windows for them, even with Zach Ertz. So I think just adding those two guys, I think really helps Carson out, takes a little bit of less, a little bit of that pressure off of him. And I think it'll get us better as a team. We get to compete against a number one receiver on a day-in and day-out basis. Which is something that, you know, we really hadn't had. So it's, you know, I'm excited.
Well, do you think that this stays strictly at safety this year instead of being used as a quasi-safety corner using the slot like you were last year?
Well, I was begging to be in the slot last year. So my role in the last couple of years is really by choice. This year, you know, it depends on the depth. I want to be able to get the best five DBs on the field. So if in order to do that I got to play safety the whole time, then I'm willing to do that. But I'm sure we'll have versatility in our packages based on matchups and teams we play. The way we play the Giants is going to be completely different than when we play the Redskins, just because the Redskins have two dynamic tight ends. The Giants have three dynamic receivers. So that nickel package will be a lot different, you know, and be different week to week.
So what if they do draft a guy like Matt? I know he's a Michigan guy, but if they do draft a guy like Peppers, would he fit in?
I'm sure we can find. I've been in a three safety defense before in New Orleans with myself, Roman Harper, and Kenny Vaccaro, and that's basically what we did. Is between myself and Vaccaro, we were interchangeable. So we went from strong to free to nickel in a bunch of different packages based on matchups. So it's definitely. I think there's room for it, and I think versatility gives you that flexibility to really match up against anybody. I don't mind matching up against receivers, so you know, having me in there at the nickel and him at safety, not an issue, or vice versa.
Couple more guys. Do you think that Jim ideally wants like one guy at the slot? But do you think you want that just to not have to worry about moving guys all around?
No, I don't. I mean, I think you'd want that if you didn't have versatile players. But to have a room full of guys that understand multiple positions is a commodity, because it's a matchup league. And so no matter what the offense comes out in, you have an answer. So, you know, sometimes you got teams that have athletic tight ends like the Redskins, and basically they're playing three wide receiver sets with two tight ends. So you got to go nickel to that. And if they start running the ball, if your nickel's too small, all of a sudden you got issues. So to have a guy that can do both is rare, but it gives you a lot of flexibility and a little bit of advantage.
And Gene, just following up on what you said before about Jalen Mills, why are you so confident in him?
Well, I'm more impressed by his mentality and his approach to the game, and I think that's at the corner position probably 90% of what it is. And he also has the athletic gifts, but his competitiveness and willingness to work and get better day in and day out is something that has been impressive since he got here. It hasn't changed. So I think as we kind of push a little bit more load onto him, I think he's built to handle it.
All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you.